morning, everybody. Okay. I don't know why that's blank. No relationships to disclose. And also, the research was conducted independently while as part of my dissertation work at UNC Chapel Hill. I currently work with the Foundation for Healthy Kentucky, but it's not affiliated with this research. So a little bit of background. The research was conducted in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville is the largest urban center in Kentucky. It's Kentucky is considered both the South and the Midwest, depending who you ask. but it definitely is a new settlement state. So even though we have a pretty low percentage population of Latino immigrants, Kentucky is one of the top four in terms of proportions of growth over the last 15 years, so incredibly rapid growth. So some of the assumptions and sort of background for the research, just the assumption I think everybody would agree, that reproductive health is integral to overall health and well-being. Then a post-welfare reform environment, meaning post-1996, where a lot of the assumptions and the policies the government provided for public benefits changed. Immigrants have limited access to public benefits, which was intentional as a result of the welfare reform. The new settlement states, such as Kentucky, have very limited experience with Latin American immigrants and therefore have a limited infrastructure to address the needs and realities of Latino immigrants, and that there's a rapidly changing policy environment, both in terms of immigration and policy, as we know. And this research was conducted between June and August of 2011, the interviews were. So things have also changed since then, and they're constantly changing. A couple of further assumptions. Family planning is viewed as a gateway health behavior, which is why I focused on family planning, meaning that by having access to family planning, you gain access to other reproductive health services, behaviors, and outcomes. Perception of access is sort of the framework through which I viewed this. I wanted to look at not just instrumental access, but the perceptions of access as a result of fear or prejudice, discrimination, sort of parallel to institutionalized racism. The questions, I will just go over quickly, the research questions that I started out with: how do professional service providers, both in health and social service fields, and policy professionals align with foreign-born Latina immigrants in terms of their perception of social, political, and cultural context of Louisville, Kentucky, the scope and meaning of family planning, the structural and perceived barriers to family planning, structural and perceived facilitators to family planning, the role of policies, all policies, not just health policies, have on access to family planning, and also looking at, and this is sort of has to be updated, obviously, the role of the Affordable Care Act, according to providers and as well as Latina immigrants. And the second part of the question was how can public health advocates more effectively use community-based approaches to influence reproductive health policy to improve access to reproductive health for Latina immigrants? So a little bit about methodology. It was qualitative research. I did 20 semi-structured key informant interviews. About half of them were with providers, and you can see here the breakdown. There were more health service providers simply because that seemed like the more relevant one in terms of where women were getting their services. The foreign-born Latina informal community leaders, I'll just say a little bit about that. They were recruited through a local not-for-profit center that serves Latina families, not just women. They had at the time 12 women's groups throughout the city. It's a city of about 600,000 people, and they had them geographically dispersed throughout the city. They were affiliated with community centers, with churches, with neighborhood centers and apartments where it was mostly Latino immigrants that lived there. So I recruited through there, and it was the women who were identified as leaders within those groups. So that's why they're called informal community leaders. 5 of the 11 providers were also Latina. Okay, so I'm going to go over the findings. Generally, I would say that providers were pretty well aligned with the perceptions and opinions that the informal community leaders had, particularly if the providers were Latina themselves and spoke Spanish. Sort of second to that were providers that spoke Spanish and had some cross-cultural experience, and those who were least aligned. Now, of course, this is just qualitative, so it's not significant, but just overall, those who did not speak Spanish and did not have any cross-cultural experience were least aligned with the perceptions and views of Latina immigrants. So there were six categories of findings in the study: social, political, cultural context of Kentucky, scope and meaning of family planning, barriers, facilitators, role of policies in access to family planning, and potential impact of the Affordable Care Act. So I'm going to go through them, and maybe we can have time for questions afterwards. But in the social, political, and cultural, there were four findings. The first one is that Kentucky was described by providers as being a poor, racially homogeneous, politically conservative, challenged by numerous and severe health problems. These conditions, plus the reported cultural resistance to change, hinder the ease with which populations can integrate into the broader community. So this was the provider speaking. Both providers and informal community leaders described Louisville as a place in transition. Again, talking about the fact that the community of immigrants, not just Latinos, but especially Latinos, had grown dramatically over the past 15 years. However, they had a sense that there was a very high economic reliance of the Latino community, especially in the service industry, but Kentucky seemed to be very inconsistent in terms of policies and political messages around their welcoming of immigrants or not. So there was a lot of sort of saying different things that both felt like it was welcoming and at times felt like it was very opposed to immigration and immigrants. A lot of the Latina women that I spoke to had long lists of stories of very negative experiences, of discrimination, of racism, and yet when I would ask them, how would you describe Louisville, how would you describe Kentucky, they had really positive descriptions. So it was really fascinating. And that was very different than providers. Providers seemed to be a lot more negative, even when they were from Louisville themselves. So there was just a sense of resilience of, yes, I've had all these bad experiences, but still, Louisville's a great place, and there have been some really nice people, too. Then providers talked a lot about the anti-choice, anti-welfare rhetoric, and I'm calling it anti-welfare, but there was a lot of talking about, well, personal responsibility and pushing people to pull themselves by their bootstraps and just a lot of that sort of cultural piece. They also talked a lot about the lagging Title X family planning funding and how that was really affecting their ability to provide services and information for all community members, but especially for the uninsured low-income Latina immigrants. The women I spoke to really valued family planning, but it was very multifaceted, very complex as well. They talked about the primary purpose of family planning was expressed as the ability to provide for their children with attention, love, and education that each of them deserved. So very seldom was family planning described as something that they did for themselves. It was described as something they did for their families and specifically for their children. While all of the Latino informal community leaders highly valued family planning, most of them expressed a lack of comfort and a lack of knowledge with family planning and contraceptive methods prior to arriving in Kentucky and becoming involved with the women's groups. So pretty much all of them said, I learned about this stuff through the women's groups and I still don't feel very comfortable, but I'm really interested and I know it's important. As in previous research that has found that Latinas have a preference for non-hormonal methods, I also found that from the Latina women that I interviewed and also the providers. However, what was a little bit different is that the women I spoke to said, yes, I'm a little bit nervous about all those hormones and what they actually do to you, but primarily they were really interested about getting information on all methods. They kept saying, well, I just wish somebody would tell me about everything so I could know what's out there and I could choose. So there was much more a higher premium based on wanting to have a full scope of options rather than just having options that were non-hormonal. Because there was such a focus on family planning for children's well-being, there was only one person that I spoke to that I ever even mentioned STIs. And it was mentioned actually as something she wanted for her daughters. So that was interesting. So even when STIs were mentioned, it was for children. So there was such an overwhelming focus on this is important because this is how you take care of your family and how you take care of your children, that there seemed to not have been either good information in education, or just not that didn't resonate with the women, that it was a good way of taking care of their health as well. And there was a tremendous lack of knowledge around STIs. So I thought that was an interesting piece, and also just in terms of opportunities for education and outreach, that that's really important to know. In terms of barriers, both the providers and the informal community leaders very easily talked about the fact that the barriers were both within the healthcare system and outside of the healthcare system. Specifically, they talked about culturally appropriate family planning was really difficult to access, and that's both providers and informal community leaders. And they talked about the fact that transportation was an issue, language access was an issue, fear of being reported and then deported was an issue. And that leads to the second finding, that the primary barriers identified by both providers, and that was all providers, as well as the formal community leaders, was undocumented immigration status, transportation barriers, and that was both the fact that Kentucky, like many states, does not allow immigrants who don't have documentation to get driver's license, but also that it's a city and a state, especially, that has very limited public transportation. So they talked about, I don't know how to take the bus there, and it gets really hot during the summer and really cold during the winter, and the bus comes once every hour, and if I miss it. So transportation was a huge issue. People talked about trying to get rides and trying to take different routes so that they couldn't be followed. Lack of language access, which led to people talking about sort of an informal interpreter network that wasn't always ethical. People who charged outrageous amounts of money for interpretation that did not follow a code of ethics. So people didn't necessarily keep confidentiality. People used their children. And when you're talking about reproductive health, that's obviously a huge issue. So a lot of women just didn't access services because of that. Providers talked about the very long waiting time at the safety net providers, Title X providers specifically. They said 2 to 3 months easily to get a first appointment. So that was a huge issue. And some of the women that I spoke to who had sought services said, well, you know, 2 to 3 months later, I mean, it seems so far away, especially not knowing how you're going to arrange your transportation or childcare. So a lot of times they didn't. I spoke to a few women who said that they'd been called after waiting for a few months and said, we need to reschedule you. So a lot of people just gave up. And again, there's such limited funding for the safety net providers and a lot of pushback politically in Kentucky for even contraception, that there was just huge barriers in that. The women I spoke to talked about multiple causes of unplanned and unwanted pregnancies. This was not a specific question. This was just a theme that arose in the conversations. And let me pull out some of the... So they talked a lot about the fact that they lack knowledge, that the cost and affordability of contraception was a barrier. Reproductive coercion was mentioned by every single one of the women I spoke to. So intimate partner violence and its manifestation within a sexual reproductive relationship was discussed with everybody, and some of the older women discussed it with their children as well, the fact that they were seeing their children, their daughters, going through this type of dynamic as well. Absence of pregnancy options, and even though a lot of the women were Catholic and expressed discomfort with abortion, they also expressed frustration that nobody had informed them that there was even that option. So, 1 minute, okay. So anyway, I'm going to try to get through all of these. Facilitators. Confianza, which means trust, that was the primary facilitator that was brought up by everybody. And that was with individuals as well as organizations. It was usually mediated by a bilingual and often bicultural person. And this seemed to make the biggest difference in terms of access. Women's groups, peer-to-peer methods, and other community-based workshops were identified as the primary way and the most culturally appropriate way to receive information about family planning. And this was both by the informal community leaders and the providers who had engaged in this and said this was by far the best way to do it. Women also talked about removing barriers. Specifically, they talked about, why can't I go to the pharmacy and get my birth control like I did in Mexico? You know, why can't I go to the urgent care center without getting an appointment? Why do I have to have an exam every time I go? So just looking at, well, how can I make this easier? And a lot of over-the-counter discussions around contraceptives. Bicultural, bilingual staff, as well as volunteers, and they talked about when they're volunteers at health fairs or they come and talk to us at the church or anything, they build a relationship and then they identify a place with a person. Usually they didn't know the name of organizations, they knew the name of people that worked there. Engaging Latino men, all the women said, well, we can learn all we want, but unless our partners are supportive and they're informed, there's very little we can do. So please go out there and talk to our boyfriends, our husbands. So that was huge. The role of churches was really interesting. They said, this, we trust the churches. We want to get information through there. At the same time, a number of them said, but they're Catholic churches, and they may not want to talk about these things. There were ways in which the community had gotten around that by placing women's groups in churches, but not being sponsored by churches, or recruiting for the women's groups at the churches, but not having them at the church. The whole health and all policies approach was completely natural to everybody. The women were like, of course, all policies affect my access to health and my health. So that was not new. And the lack of implementation and enforcement of policies, which is a huge concern for providers. They said, well, we have Title VI, great. We have all these policies at the organizational level, great. But nobody enforces them, and very few people even know that they exist. In terms of ACA, and this has to be updated, but the providers were very ambivalent. They're like, well, undocumented immigrants are not covered. We still have the 5-year wait. Their one place of hope was, if we have more people who are insured and covered, maybe we can use what little funding we have to actually address those that will continue to be uninsured. So there was a sense that we can specialize and we can focus in that. Most of the Latino women I spoke to were unaware of the Affordable Care Act and actually felt that it could have a potential negative impact because they felt like they might be reported. Don't have time for discussion or recommendations, but I'd be happy to answer questions afterwards. Thank you. I wish I'd brought the number. In Kentucky, most immigrant Latinas are from Mexico, but there's a pretty good chunk from Central America. My sample was, I think, had 3 from Mexico, 1 from Guatemala, El Salvador, Peru, maybe 4 from Mexico. So it was majority from Mexico, but not all. There was Central and South American as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Related to their immigrant status and if there was any relationship on their perception to access based on how many years they've been in the U.S.?
Not on how many years they've been in the U.S., but on immigration status, yes. So those who were undocumented definitely felt a lot more vulnerable and had less of a sense of access. The one person that was the most positive about everything, she had citizenship, and she also had a higher level of education. So she was a lot more optimistic about things, but she also had access to services that the other women did not.